Opinions expressed on the following program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of Absolute Broadcasting, its staff, or advertisers. It's time for Israel is Real. Two Israelis putting a human face on all things Israel. Rahel and Sonia focus on life in modern 21st century Israel, telling the stories of ordinary people living in, loving, and in support of an extraordinary land. Israel is Real is a community-supported program featuring interviews with local, national, and international celebrities, personal life stories, and call-ins. Learn a new Hebrew word every week. Israel is Real. Every Friday on 1590 WSMN. Nashua's News and Talk. And now, your hosts, Rahel and Sonia.
Hi, we're Rachel
and Sonia,
and this is Israel is Real. Boker tov lekol ha'mazinim.
Tzoraim tovim v'Yisrael.
From WSMN 1590, Nashua's News and Talk. We are a community-supported program, and that means we depend on your support to stay on the air. We'd like to extend our thanks to all those who love and support our efforts on behalf of spreading the good news about Israel. So, we are chronically fundraising. Don't forget to keep those donations coming. We're good until the end of the year, I think, at this point, thanks to many of you. So keep them coming. We want to get into next year, too. So visit our website at www.israelisreal.weebly.com. That's israelisreal.weebly.com. You can also email us at israelisreal1590@gmail.com. Israel is Real 1590@gmail.com. And as always, we like to thank our sponsor, Vern Main, the patent and trademark law firm of Vern Main and Associates, a local firm with a global practice, is pleased to announce its new office location at 547 Amherst Street in Nashua. That's 547 Amherst Street in Nashua, and also on the web at www.vernmain.com. For professional legal counseling on all intellectual property matters, contact the legal specialists at Vern Main and Associates at their offices on 547 Amherst Street, Nashua, 547 Amherst Street, Nashua, or on the web at vernmain.com. That's vernmaine.com.
Did you know that Vision is an organization that educates our community about the little country of Israel? Did you know that Israel has more museums per capita than any other country in the world? To receive Vision's emails alert and be informed about Vision's educational activities and opportunities, please visit Vision's website at www.newhampshireforisrael.org. It's www.nh4israel.org. And Rachel is spreading beautiful music around the globe. She has created a mature and modern sound with its sometimes driving rhythms and sometimes gentle sounds. There are hints of jazz, Middle East blends, Future East mantras. It's authentic and sincere, retro and new, all at once. Contact Rachel at www.rachelmusic.com, which is www.rahelmusic.com.
Wow. And we thank our sponsors again, and do keep those donations coming. We, as always, and I know, Noreen, I hope you're out there listening because I know you love this part of the show. This is our Hebrew word of the day, and we have a word today, actually two words, which is klezmer or klezmer.
Klezmer or klezmer, it's a word from Yiddish, and it's a music, it's a musical tradition of the Ashkenazic Jews of Eastern Europe. The term klezmer come from a combination of Hebrew words, clay mean instrument, and zemer meaning songs. So this is leading to klezmer, which is literally means vessels of song or musical instrument. Originally, klezmer referred to musical instruments and was later extended to refer to musicians themselves. Mm-hmm. It gradually came to refer to the musician from the 16th to 18th centuries old terms, such as Leitz, clown, gave away. It was not until the mid to late 20th century that the word was used to identify a music genre.
A musical genre.
Genre, okay.
Yeah.
Early 20th century recording and writing most often refer to the style as Yiddish music, although it is also sometimes referred to Freilach music. Freilach means happy.
Happy, but joyous, fun.
Why we need klezmer today?
Well, we like to bring guests on, as uh-huh. you know, and we have a very, very exciting guest, a good friend of mine. His name is Ruby Harris. He's a virtuoso of Jewish music, also known as the world's greatest blues violinist from Chicago. And he has performed at sold-out concerts all around the world. He is one of the fathers of Jewish rock and an original member of the band that invented Jewish rock right there in Jerusalem, and one of the first of the klezmer revival bands. Now we know what klezmer is. And that was the Diaspora Yeshiva band. He's toured and recorded with and davened with the father of modern Jewish music, Rabbi Shlomo Karlebach. He's got an extensive musical resume, and which includes performing before President Clinton, for MTV and CBS Records, before prime ministers, mayors, and people just like you and me. He's performed and recorded with and opened for a long list of musical greats, and just to name a few, and I hope you've heard of them, Ray Charles, Maria Muldaur, James Cotton, Little Feat, Marshall Tucker Band, Hot Tuna, Buddy Miles, Dave Mason, Peter Yarrow, Jerry Bromberg, Junior Wells, Pine Top Perkins, The Chieftains, The Body Band, and The On Your Mountain String. That's only a few. And in the Jewish world, Mordechai Ben David, Avram Fried, who we heard some of their music last week, Nagina and Neshama Orchestras, members of Yitzhak Perlman's Klezmer Band, the Klezmer Conservatory Band, Andy Statman, the Klezmatics, Jazzmer, the Maxwell Street Klezmer Band, and Soul Farm, Moshav. I could go on and on, but I think it's time to introduce our listeners to master virtuoso, greatest blues violinist in klezmer, Ruby Harris. Ruby, Boker Tov.
Hello there.
Boker Tov.
Boker Tov.
You're out there in Chicago?
I'm in there in Chicago.
Oh, so, right. But where are you from originally?
Great Neck, New York.
Great Neck. Well, we've just espoused on all of your, I should say maybe only a third or a quarter, I don't know, of your musical resume. So what's your background and your talents and all that? Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, nice to meet and talk to all of you. And you just scratched the surface. I was born and raised in New York. And when I was 8 years old, the Beatles were on Ed Sullivan. So that pretty much ruined it for my whole generation. We just fell in love with the British invasion. Herman's Hermits, Dave Clark Five, Jerry and the Pacemakers, and all those great bands and the Beatles.
Jerry probably needs a pacemaker today. I don't know.
Yeah, they're about 80 now, all those guys. But, you know, people make a big mistake when they see the TV shows of the old bands and then they see Paul McCartney at about 75 years old and Mick Jagger, who looks like a dinosaur, and Keith Richards. You know, they see a bunch of old people. But these bands and the 50s bands and the 40s bands, they were young too once. They were kids. They were teenagers. They were, you know, rocking and rolling when they were young bands. So all you kids out there, don't forget that. Beethoven was young once, too.
So in the meantime, he disappears.
Yeah. He disappeared, but at least we got records of right. Beethoven.
That's right. He made those records back then, too. Right.
Yep. And Bach. All from right. Bach to rock. We played from Bach to rock. And so growing up in Great Neck was fun. We used to go to the Fillmore East and see all the great bands of the 60s. And then after everybody got sick of rock, which was about 1970, we discovered classical music, jazz, bluegrass, Broadway. And in the background of all of this was Jewish music, but it was very hidden, very rare. The only Jewish music that was around was Fiddler on the Roof and some cantorial music on the holidays and old scratchy 78s from our grandparents.
In other words, there was Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, you know, I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas. Weren't those Jewish musicians?
Yeah. First of all the Christmas songs were about a Jew, and they were mostly written by Jews, chestnuts roasting over open fire, and like you said, White Christmas, Silver Bells,
right.
And Easter Parade, all written by Jews, definitely.
Sort of like Kabbalah, you had to look beyond and above. Sort of the
well, black. I see it as a Jewish story. The whole Christian history and the whole Christian story is really only could be a Jewish tale and a Jewish story. The whole thing about Christianity is from the Bible and from the Talmud, and then they form their own religion. And it's that nobody ever says thank you to the Jewish people for all this facts and history about Christianity.
Well, we're going to learn more about that next time we talk to you. And we've got about a minute, so Sonia's going to ask you a question before our break.
What brought you to Israel?
I was a young, let's say, 20-year-old, and I was in Europe for a year. And everywhere I went in Europe, I had a great time. Italy was fantastic, Michelangelo and Leonardo da Vinci. France was amazing with Marie Antoinette and Alan Stival and all the Breton music and all the French art and French bread and French cheese and French pastry and all that stuff. England was amazing with Sir Walter Raleigh and Henry VIII and the Beatles and Shakespeare. And I was kind of looking for a place to call home. And when I got to the Colosseum in Rome, and I went about a couple of blocks away, there's a statue by Michelangelo of the Moses, which is arguably the greatest sculpture ever made in the history of the world. So I'm standing there looking at this sculpture, and I think, my God, Europe did nothing but paint pictures of Jews and do sculptures of Jews for thousands of years. And then I said to myself, I know nothing about my own people. I know all about the Irish. I know all about the Dutch, all about the French. I know nothing about my own people. For some reason, the history of my own people, the Jews, was hidden from me growing up in Great Neck. We were more interested in the Yankees and the Beatles and pizza and the 4th of July. We didn't know about anything Jewish. We had Hanukkah presents and we had, Passover. But besides that, we didn't know anything. So I was inspired. I said, Europe did nothing but paint pictures of Jews, the greatest artwork in the history of the world. Michelangelo, the Sistine Chapel, Leonardo da Vinci, was all painted pictures of Jewish people doing something, either killing the Messiah or being the Messiah or all the biblical things, Moses. and Daniel and Jeremiah. And then I said, you know what I'll do? I think I'm here in Italy. I think I'll take a trip. It's only $75 back then.
Wow.
From Tel Aviv, from Athens to Tel Aviv on a plane. So after spending 2 months naked on the beach in Greece and drinking Metaxa and ouzo and eating Greek salad and having a great time, I went to Israel. And we're gonna
stop you at that thought,
okay,
and continue when we come back from a break. This is WSMN 1590, Israel is Real.
WSMN
and WSMNradio.com.
The Telegraph, keeping you connected to your community for pennies a day.
When news breaks,
The Telegraph is there. When the community needs a watchdog, The Telegraph is there. When it's time to celebrate the accomplishments of our young athletes and scholars, The Telegraph is there. All for pennies a day. The Telegraph has been recognized for 7 years in a row as the best small daily newspaper in New England by the New England Press Association. Find out why one of New England's best daily newspapers is your daily newspaper for only pennies a day.
I've had trouble with Angel trying to finish high school. He's always struggled through even elementary. It would be frustrating because sometimes I would talk to him and he wouldn't even turn around and look at me. I would ask him, "So you're going to school today, right?" He would say, "Yeah." And then later during the day, I would get a phone call saying he wasn't in class. He dropped off for a whole month. There's a time that I just gave up. I just decided, you know what, I don't know what to do with you. I mean, I pretty much have done everything to try to get you back to school. You know, you feel that maybe you're not a good parent, or maybe you don't know how to fix the problem. I really didn't have many people to look to but myself. Now I think that it's gotten a lot better. Now I at least have hope that he'll finish high school. I can't give up. He's still my son, you know? I can't give up.
Give your teen the boost they need to graduate. Call 1-877-4A-KID or join us at boostup.org for tips and advice. Brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Poaching is a major threat to our country's wildlife populations, but it's just one of the risks animals face. The best way to protect wildlife is to protect the land on which they live. The Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust works with private landowners to protect wildlife by preserving natural habitats and establishing permanent sanctuaries. To learn more or to work with the Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust to save your land, call 1-800-729-SAVE or visit wildlifelandtrust.org.
Check the latest weather, cross town or cross country, anytime. Click on the weather box at WSMNradio.com.
Belirushalayim, Beit Mikdashcha besimchat olam.
Avienu leZion, Ircha berina. Belirushalayim, Beit Mikdashcha besimchat olam.
And we're back on WSMN 1590, Israel is Real. Two Israelis putting a human face on all things Israel. We're talking with Ruby Harris, master musician, and he was telling us about... Ruby, hi.
Hi.
We're back. You were telling us about, you know, your life prior to coming to Israel was full of all kinds of music and travels around the world, and now you've landed in Israel. Tell us what happened when you got to Israel. What was your musical life? You said, you know, was it a turning point? What was happening when you got to Israel?
Well, I landed at the airport and felt at home immediately. And I guess it was the Hebrew letters on all the stores reminded me of something in my childhood. And then I traveled around Israel for about a month and went to Armageddon, Megiddo, and I went to Mount Sinai and the sunrise over Mount Sinai and the full
Beautiful.
Moon. It was all very magical and mystical in the desert, in the Negev and the Sinai desert. And I went snorkeling in the Red Sea, which was like National Geographic, magnificent
right.
underwater snorkeling. And then I
hope you had a bathing suit on at that time.
I think Eilat is not known for totally clothed people. But anyway, I had a great time. And then I met some bluegrass players. One of them's name was Ann Silverman. Do you remember her, Rachel?
I do. I met her, too, in my travels.
Isn't you by mistake?
It happens to be.
Don't tell anyone.
Right, I won't tell anyone. There's this girl from named Ann Silverman from Boston who is now in Israel playing the guitar, and I was a fiddle player, so we hit it off. And then when they got sick of me sleeping on the floor of their living room, they said, hey, I know a place where you could get free food, free place to stay, and they also happen to have a band there.
So just go away.
So just, yeah, maybe we'll, yeah, get this guy out of here. No. So I went to Mount Zion, which happened to be biblical ground zero, the place where the Bible was written, where King David wrote the Psalms, where Abraham met Melchizedek, Shem, the son of Noah, Noah and the Ark. Mm-hmm. And this place is so rich in biblical history. It's the next mountain south of the Temple Mount of King Solomon and King David. This is an amazing place. And they have a yeshiva there, and you stay in Crusader period rooms in a fortress, and it was really fantastic. And they just happened to have a bunch of guys with guitar, bass, and drums, and saxophone, who needed a fiddler, another fiddler. They also had a fiddler and mandolin player. So I joined the band, and we toured the world 6 times. We made a bunch of records. We won festivals, and we won contests. And we were really the first Jewish rock band. Before there was Jewish rock, there was every other kind of music. But we invented Jewish rock.
In the tradition of King David, on the right. rock, right near the rock.
Right. The rock is the Dome of the Rock and the Temple Mounts. Thou art our rock and our redeemer. There's a lot of rocks up there. People throw rocks. People have rocks in their head. All kinds of rocks. Rock music.
So tell us about the a little bit about the Diaspora Yeshiva band and the Jewish rock music. How it, you know, I remember those days.
Inspire.
I used to go there and watch you guys every Saturday night, Motzei Shabbat for Malavi Malka, and it was fantastic. I mean, what you guys were doing there, I was in awe. And I know that it wasn't something that was usual at the time. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. Also, a bunch of guys were playing reggae music, and every Israeli walks around, and all they say is, rock reggae, which is rock reggae. I thought it was rock reggae, reggae rock. They're really saying rock reggae, which means hold on a minute.
Yeah.
Hold on a minute. Okay. Anyway, yes, every Saturday night we had a concert called King David's Malave Malka, which means the greeting of the new week and the welcoming of the new day after the Sabbath. And we played Jewish rock every Saturday night, and people came from all over the country and all over the world to this concert. And it was I had a great time playing it, and you had a great time listening, so there you go. And it was in the tomb of King David, which is King David's famous for writing the most famous songs of all time, which are Yea, Though I Walk Through the Shadow of the Valley of Death, and The Lord is My Shepherd, and all the Psalms. The Psalms of the Book of the Torah. And he played all the instruments, played the harp, played the flute, played the drums, and he praised God with all of his instruments. That's what he says. All souls will praise God. Kol Hanashama Tehalel. All souls will praise God with musical instruments.
And
let's talk about the Jewish musical roots. We know that Jews live all over the world, and our music reflects this. How do you define Jewish music today?
Well, it can't be that Harold Arlen wrote the music of The Wizard of Oz, so that's Jewish music. And it can't be that Irving Berlin wrote God Bless America, so that's Jewish music, because a Jew wrote it. I don't know if that means it's Jewish music. And it can't be that if Bach spent his entire life writing music based on the Bible, that that's Jewish music, because he was not Jewish, but the words that inspired all of Bach's music was written by Jews, and it was Jewish words and Jewish inspiration. So that can't be Jewish music, can it? So Jewish music must be the music that Jews play, and there are two different kinds of Jewish music. One is Jewish music that is really, really originating from a Jewish source, and the second is music that is not originating from a Jewish source, but is then made into a Jewish style. And the best example of that is the Arabic music that became Israeli music, and the klezmer music that became the Yiddish, music of Eastern, because there are two populations of Jews, the Sephardic Jews and the Ashkenazic Jews, and there are others, Yemenites and all kinds of others, but the two major populations are the Sephardic Jews from the Arab countries in North Africa and Spain, and then there's the Ashkenazic Jews from Poland, Russia, Romania, Hungary,
Eastern Europe.
Mm-hmm. And all of these countries have their own music. Romania is very famous Romanian music. Hungary has Gypsy and other music. France has French music. Germany has German music. Poland has Polish. Russian has Russian music. And then the Arab countries, there's definite distinction between Turkish music and Iraqi music and Babylonian, Persian, Egyptian, Moroccan. These are all different countries with different styles of music, and you'd have to do a whole program on each country's music. And if you go to Israel, you turn on the radio, they do that a lot. Like I was driving in Beersheba, Israel, I turn on the radio, and they're doing a program of Tunisian music. And who knows what? Was it New Tunisian, Old Tunisian, State of Israel Tunisian, pre-State of Israel Tunisian, modern Tunisian, and all of these different Jews that lived in these different countries played the music of the country, and then they added it to their own Jewish consciousness and Jewish spirituality, and that's what Jewish music is.
So it sounds like I don't even know how to say this. It's like Jewish music is a mix and a blend.
It has roots everywhere.
And has roots everywhere, and as are the Jews everywhere.
So the thing is that the Jewish music, from what I understand you, it is a mix. And because of this mix, it's expanding, and it's probably, I don't know if better, but much more beautiful. I don't know.
Rich, very rich.
Rich, yes.
Very rich.
Yeah. I think it can be compared to food. The most famous Jewish food is chicken soup or chopped liver or gefilte fish or falafel. And these foods are whatever is growing in the country. In if you're in a country where if you're in Mexico and they have avocados and they have pineapple, so you make you have a Shabbat dinner or Rosh Hashanah meal, and it's made of the foods grown in Mexico. So you're going to have tacos, and you're going to have burritos and tequila, you know. And then you're going to make it kosher, and you're going to have the Jewish food of Mexico. It's really Mexican food, kosher style. And so that's what happened in Romania and China. Chinese, what do you think Chinese Jews eat? Hot dogs and hamburgers? No, they eat Chinese food, you know. They've been there for thousands of years. Their food is definitely going to be Chinese food, but it's going to be Jewish Chinese food.
Right.
So Ruby, yep. I know that you play a whole lot of instruments. You play the guitar, the mandolin. Your main instrument is violin, fiddle. You play just about everything, and we used to call you Jukebox Harris because you play just about every song, and you know it all. So tell us a little bit about what you're doing with this music that you've got in you, the jazzmer, the klezmer, the what is it, the keltmer? I don't know.
Celtic.
Gypsmer.
Right. I play 4 or 5 nights a week in various events. I play weddings, I play concerts, I play nightclubs, I make recordings. Every Wednesday night, I play with B.B. King's daughter, Shirley King. I play blues and soul music, and like Michael Jackson, we play real funky music. It's a lot of fun, and it's great music. And then every Tuesday, I play at a downtown club called the Redhead, and we play rock and blues and jazz and some country with Phil Barron, who's a boogie-woogie pianist and rock and roll pianist. He's great. And then on Sundays, I'll play a wedding with my Segula orchestras and klezmer band, the Ruby Harris Klezmer Band. We'll play every kind of Jewish music from old to new, from the latest Jewish pop music all the way back to the oldest klezmer music. And we mix it all up. Usually we play, the dinner music is for the older people, which is klezmer music, and then the dancing is usually the latest rock and Jewish music. That's kind of a pattern there.
That's amazing. Like we'll we have to cut out for a break. I'll just say that we are listening to your music as we go in and out of breaks, and so this is, you know, reflecting on all the different things you've been saying. So we'll be back with Ruby Harris. This is WSMN 1590 Nashua's News and Talk, and this is Israel is Real.
WSMN
and WSMNradio.com.
Walmart will be hosting a fall packing event, gathering care packages for members of our armed services serving outside the continental United States. To date, Walmart has shipped over 26,000 care packages to our troops. Anyone interested in donating to the cause can drop off a new soccer ball, a brown bag filled with items, or make a financial donation which will be used to defray mailing costs. Suggested brown bag packing items include patriotic items, candy, healthy snacks, and encouraging notes and cards. Please, no toiletries, liquids, home-baked goods, or fireworks. The fall packing event takes place Thursday and Friday, September 23rd and 24th from 3 to 7 p.m. at the U.S. Army National Guard Armory on 154 Daniel Webster Highway. If you or your group would like to volunteer, please email paul at moremart.org. For more information, log on to moremart.org. That's moremart.org.
Kevin, now that you're in eighth grade, let's not talk about alcohol. You've got a lot going on. Sports, homework. So I'm sure you haven't noticed where we keep the alcohol in the house. When you hang out with your friends, I know how innocent it is. You play video games, watch educational TV programs. Besides, you're too smart to have friends who drink. By the time you reach high school, trying to be cool and fit in will be the last thing on your mind. You'll be focused on getting into my alma mater, not experimenting with drinking. So don't worry. I won't ask you if you've tried alcohol or what you're doing when you sleep over a friend's house. I mean, you're too young to even think about stuff like drinking. Right, kiddo?
Real kids are curious about alcohol. 40% try it by the eighth grade. Start a real conversation at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. That's underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. Talk early. Talk often. Get others involved. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hey, City Hall, we love it when you've got your radios on. Nashua's News and Talk, 1590 WSMN.
We're back on WSMN 1590, Nashua's News and Talk. This is Israel is Real with Rachel and Sonia, two Israelis putting a human face on all things Israel. And we're back talking to Ruby Harris, musician extraordinaire. And we're hearing a little bit of his Klez blues, some Jewish blues there. And Ruby, you're still with us.
Still with us.
Early in the morning, I know.
Yeah.
Just got your coffee there. We want to bring it back around to Israel a little bit again, and tell us about a little bit about the Israeli music that you when you got to Israel. What did you find there in regards to Israeli music? How did that influence you?
Well, Israeli music is fantastic music, especially when you got the traditions and the feeling and the soul of the Torah and the ancient culture and customs. And I'd say half of Israel is Sephardim and half of them is Ashkenazim. But the Sephardim happen to have this beautiful music. It's called Mizrahi, which is Eastern, Oriental. It's really the Jewish experience of the past 1,000 years of living in Arabic countries, and the Mizrahi music is really spiritual and excellent quality music, and I was very impressed with that. And then of course you have every other form of music, and as Jews are world famous musicians, Yasha Heifetz and Isaac Stern and Oistrakh, these are the greatest violinists of all time, and they're
right.
Jewish.
Yitzhak Perlman.
They played it. Yitzhak Perlman, they played in Israel. They played Jewish music. They played Bach and Beethoven and everything. And then in jazz and in rock, you have Jewish stars, Bob Dylan, and members of the Grateful Dead, who I played with, and the Jefferson Airplane are Jewish, and all kinds of Israeli connected music.
Metallica, don't they have some Jewish members in there? Israeli, I think. Was it
Metallica?
I'm not sure. I think it's Metallica. Yeah.
I play in a club in Chicago every Tuesday called the Redhead, and two of the guys from Metallica came to the club a couple of months ago. A lot of famous people. Billy Joel was in there, and famous sports stars. Movie stars, Vince Vaughn came in, I met him. That doesn't make them Jewish because they come to a club that I'm playing at.
But moves me to ask you a question. You're playing Jewish music, and sometimes, to tell you the truth, I don't know if people realize that, when you're playing some blues, you're throwing in some Jewish klezmers and, things like that. I remember when we used to play together, we'd be playing some Jewish songs, you know, and melodies, and all of a sudden I'd hear some Jimi Hendrix licks coming out of you. But how, you know, you said just because they come in and they're seeing you play, I think that you are having an influence on people by your appearance. You're an Orthodox Jew. They know that you keep Shabbat, probably, maybe. You talk about it. You know, what you are having an influence on people. And
well,
maybe
depends where
possibly.
I play in an Irish band, and I don't even tell them I'm Jewish. I pretend I'm Irish. So it has nothing to do with...
And then
in fact, two of the members of this Irish band are Jewish. One of them is married to a shiksa. He's got three Catholic kids. He doesn't, you could never tell this guy is Jewish, but when you start talking to him, it's like talking to some totally Yiddish Jewish guy. Okay, that's the funny way it is. But we play Irish music for Irish people in Irish events, and that's a beautiful form of music. Now, in the club I play at every Tuesday night, one night is sitting the Prince of Saudi Arabia, the son of the King of Saudi Arabia, Prince Abdullah ibn one of these guys, I forget his name, but his father is the King of Saudi Arabia, and he likes our music. He's listening. He likes Pink Floyd, and he likes Creedence Clearwater, and he likes Hendrix, and he invites us to play at a private party that he's throwing. So I go to this private party, which is in an Italian restaurant in Chicago, and it's filled up with his wife, who is a princess out of Walt Disney. She looks like the princess, you know? She's wearing a princess thing, and she looks like a prince. And he's a Saudi Arabian, but he's dressed. He's got jeans on and fancy Italian shoes, and he's a hip guy, you know, and he's the head of the World Red Crescent, like the Red Cross, the Muslim Red Cross, and he's the world head of it, but he's digging our music. So personally, I didn't even tell him I was Jewish. Also, naturally, my pianist is Jewish, but we weren't talking about Judaism. We weren't talking about religion. We were talking more about music and Italian food, you know?
And that's the beauty of music, that it really brings you into so many worlds.
Yep.
And it's, you know, it's part of so many worlds. So, you know, we're going to end up not having a whole lot of time, so I'm moving it along a little bit, but let's talk about your direction, your musical direction. I know that, you know, your evolution started, you know, when you were younger all around the world and playing all of those blues and Irish and bluegrass and all of that. And then being in Israel gave you exposure to the Sephardic music, the Ashkenazic music, and a whole salad bowl of styles and genres. So do you think your musical direction is different today than it was?
Definitely. You know, our band, Diaspora Yeshiva Band, won a music festival, first prize. It was called the Hasidic Song Festival. And we had three hits in a row, and we beat all the other Israeli groups, and they were all these famous Israeli groups, and we beat them all 3 years in a row. We were so popular that they had to change the rules of how to vote, because nobody else was winning, and they have all their friends, and they wanted them to win, so they kind of changed the rules around. But in terms of the future, I just do everything. I play rock, I play blues, I play Irish. I have a new CD coming out of Celtic fiddle music with some rock and klezmer and jazz thrown in. And I'm writing songs all the time. Look, I'm never going to be as famous as who knows who's famous nowadays, Hannah Montana, or I don't know what you got. Lady Gaga, forget about it.
You can be Mr. Gaga.
I mean, Mr. Gaga, right, good. Man Gaga, Gentleman Gaga, okay. Unlikely. Maybe Goo Goo.
Well,
but, I do a lot of different things. Saturday night, I got a Ruby and the Wave Hunters are playing surf garage and vintage rock. And we're going to do some of that cool old Ventures and Shadows and Rolling Stones and whatever, Beach Boys. And Sunday I have a klezmer wedding. We had a beautiful wedding a couple weeks ago where the bride and groom at the end of the wedding got on a train and went to their honeymoon. The first stop was downtown Chicago, and we played all this klezmer stuff at the train station as the train pulled in, as the bride and groom got on the train, and as the doors closed and went into the sunset on the train tracks. It was actually a very uplifting and spiritual experience standing at the train station with a train. So
playing Jewish music.
Yeah, well, it was real klezmer. It was somehow so appropriate. It just worked. It made sense. I don't know. It made you think of being in Europe. Of course, the image of train tracks starts to bring you to some of the not so good experiences that Jews have had in Europe. But hopefully Mashiach will come and we'll all have a blessing of love and peace and happiness because of the good things that the Jewish people have created and done in the world.
Baruch Hashem. Ruby, it's been really great talking to you today about the music. We are going to have you on again, and we're going to talk about your personal journey home to Judaism, and we'll let the people know when that's going to be on, probably in a week or two. So let's, in the meantime, why don't you tell people how they can find you? I'm sure that after this they want to book you for concerts and bring you to their occasions and weddings and just have a fun time, a concert. So how can people find you?
Ruby Harris, telephone 773-465-6565. And Google me, and I have a web page, and email.
RubyHarrisMusic.com? Is that what it is?
RubyHarrisMusic.com is my web page. And, yeah, I'm, in Chicago, and they could just call Chicago Information, or I suppose I'm on the white pages in the internet. I'm not hard to find because I advertise, to play events, and I travel all over. I think a lot of your people are in New England. I've been there many times, Massachusetts, Vermont, New Hampshire.
And we are actually heard around the world, would you believe it? So anybody, I think, if they want to contact you at rubyharrismusic.com, that would be great. And if they don't know how to get you, we will have a link to you on our website. So, Ruby, we want to say Shabbat Shalom, and we will talk to you soon.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure, and you're wonderful people. I love what you do, and hope I didn't ramble too much.
But Lord, that's rambling man.
Right, that's part of the jam session.
That's the jam, right.
This is a verbal jam session.
Right.
Nice talk. I love you both and what you do.
We love you
Thank
too, Ruby.
You.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. And
isn't this amazing?
It's great.
Isn't this amazing? Yeah. Come on.
We will take our listeners out with some more of Ruby's music. But before we do that, we'd like to hear about our portion of the week, our Torah portion.
Parashat Shoftim. Pursing justice in a morally ambiguous world. This is about this week Torah portion. This portion is filled with many of the laws and ideas that form the basis of the ethical Jewish tradition. It challenges us with the famous words, Tzedek tzedek tirdof, means justice, justice you shall pursue.
It's a word we are hearing a lot of these days, justice. So what do we learn about that?
I don't know if it's exactly the same connotation, but the meaning of justice in this case, it's what you and I understand about justice.
Mm-hmm.
The Sfat Emet, which is Rabbi Yehuda Leib Alter, is concerned with the word pursue. He explained that there is no final depth or end to justice and truth. We always have to go deeper, seeking out the truth within truth. Thus, the word emet, truth, contains the middle, the first, the middle, and the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet.
Aleph, Mem, and Tav.
Right. According to the Sfat Emet interpretation, the obligation to pursue justice precedes the obligation to achieve it. We can never throw up our hands in frustration. As Jews and as human beings, we must not fail to act in ways that improve our world.
Yeah, that's tikkun, as they say, improve our
improve
world.
Improve our
right?
world, yes. We must continue to challenge ourselves not to become apathetic, I'm sorry, because of the feeling that our contribution is too small. If we maintain the courage to continually pursue justice, we may be able to help the world a little and transform ourselves in the process.
That's Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom. That's a lot to think about. So we are Israel is real. And Rachel and Sonia, two Israelis putting a human face on all things Israel. Music brought to you today by RubyHarrisMusic.com as well as RachelMusic.com. And we're on the air every Friday, 10 to 11 in the morning on WSMN Nashua's News and Talk, WSMN 1590. We'd like to thank our technician George as well today. And we'll take you out with a little more music from Ruby Harris.
Shabbat shalom.
Where I'm not, and I'm so all alone. I feel so invisible, I can penetrate stone. Found my city a refuge, but I left just the same. It's been 9 long days. In the river, I don't know my own face. I see an ancient wandering from a mountain-like place. I've become my own ancestor, and my eyes have grown gray.
Connecting you to the news of the day.
Because communication is the beginning of understanding.
1590.